Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to a brand new edition of the Fro Ballers Podcast. My name is Adeshope Olajide. I'm joined every week by my brother, DJ Wiles. We are live at the Eni Studios in central London, Covent Garden, to be exact. And this is supported by Eni's Restaurant, Eni's Radio, Energy God Drinks. And this is where we break down the hottest headlines and break down any topic across sports, but looking through the prism of the African, Afro-Caribbean, African-American sphere. This is where we break down our topics, speaking about our players, our athletes, the way nobody else will do it. So if you've not subscribed, hit the follow button, the subscription button, share this podcast with anybody that deserves to know about our athletes. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been, since we launched the Fro Ballers Podcast, it was launched to put a spotlight on what was going on in the African Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast, look a little bit closely at the competition, the first competition within football in Africa, the once in 2 years competition that gets us Africans so excited. And I've been very happy that we've done that very closely. Yes. Before we get into the hot topics, Wiles, what are your thoughts about the AFCON coverage and the fact that we launched the Footballers Podcast during this very important time?
I'm happy it came up, and I think this is the best AFCON edition we've ever had. And we can see the passions, all supporters and fans of each country of them are them put in. We fought. We threw like memes around against each other.
It got everybody excited.
Yeah, you know, but at the end of the day, we all won.
Absolutely.
And I love the togetherness we saw in this edition, because it literally, regardless of whatever the economy is saying in Africa currently, people are trying to leave, people are suffering, but this game brought us together.
Galvanized us. Now, let's talk about the competition in itself. Over the last couple of days, the third place match took place, as well as the AFCON finals. Before we go into the AFCON finals, I want us to talk about the third place match, which featured South Africa and the Republic of Congo. Two teams that a lot of people never expected to have found in the last four of such
a
huge
four teams.
Absolutely. But let's talk about DRC and South Africa first. Yeah. There's been a lot of criticism locally for South Africa, because in football, they've had probably one of the best structures in African football over the last 20 years. They've had a lot of international players that have played not only at the highest level in the Premier League, playing for clubs like Manchester United, Leeds, playing for Tottenham, the list goes on. But in the last decade, they've somehow fallen short of the heights that the local fan base expect them to be at. However, this championship saw a completely different side to South Africa, a rejuvenated side, footballing side that played free-flowing football. They scored a lot of goals. They were a threat attacking-wise. Yes. Their midfield was extremely strong and very potent. Their defense was very solid, and we saw what the goalkeeper did, saving, you know, penalties. Talk to me about that match that put these two very exciting teams, DRC as well, together, and what you expected the outcome to be and what the final result was.
It was a good game. So I saw the game, and I wanted DRC to win because they from day one, they showed a different energy.
They showed what the AFCON was about.
They came to the competition ready, but they lack one thing: finishing. And that really cost them the third place. I saw the game and I was like, oh wow, because they missed a lot of chances. Their forwards missed a lot. One-on-ones, I was like, no. And we all know how that kind of a game ends when it gets to penalty. And I wasn't surprised when the South African goalkeeper saved after they've gone like...
But again, I was actually surprised. So if you didn't see the match, if you've been living under the rock, both teams went head-to-head, and eventually the match went into overtime.
Yeah.
And finally penalties. And even when it went to penalties, South Africa only won on penalties after one penalty was saved. Which first round of penalties, all players scored their goals until the Congolese player obviously had theirs saved. I didn't see that coming because for what we had seen in the competition previously of the South African goalkeeper, everybody's expecting this brother to be incredible when it comes to penalty saves. But it looked like even the underrated Congolese team still had his number up to a point.
Yeah, but again, you don't, when it comes to games, you don't want it to get to that point.
Yes, yes.
And that's why you have to always take your chances, which is what we never had with the Super Eagles.
Yeah.
So I think that really cost the, because if they had won that game yesterday, it would change a lot in their country.
In DRC.
Yes. It will.
It would uplift the footballing side. Yes, it would open up the minds of the agents.
Because they've been, you know, going through some kind of wars.
Absolutely,
recently.
Absolutely. And recently there was something that happened. I believe it was in Goma.
Yes.
Where lots of lives were lost.
Yeah. So if they had won that yesterday, I'm sure
that would have uplifted.
At least, even if it's just 2 days happiness for them, that would have meant a lot for them. So.
But
they still did well.
But exactly. Now, what I wanted to say is, like you said correctly, when we were introducing today's podcast, nobody expected the four teams to be in the semifinals, let alone the finals. Let's talk about what this semifinals and third place match does for South African and Congolese football separately. What do you think this achievement of even competing in these final stages of such a huge competition like the AFCON does to their footballing industries?
It's a massive advantage for the Congolese because they will build on what they have currently to prepare for the next one. Now the confidence, the belief is there that, look,
we can do it.
Yes. So it happened and we can do it in the next one. And for South Africa, I like the fact that they've gone back to their drawing board to pick some of their own best players as well to showcase them in this tournament. They've got a fantastic league. I expect South Africa to be the Egypt of the olden days,
Zamalek used to dominate.
Yes,
the African Champions League.
I believe with the professional league the South Africans have got, they can literally field a first local 11,
and that will be strong
enough.
That
will win. That will win the AFCON. So I want to see them build on this. And I hope when they come back for the next one, they will be like proper prepared. Because it was the only missed the final with a slight thing against Nigeria.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the finals. This is the one match that the entire world has been looking forward to. Nigeria having a rematch with the host nation, the Ivory Coast. In Abidjan, packed out stadium, as I had predicted, was going to probably be one of the toughest matches that Nigeria ever played at the AFCON Championships, playing not only a home nation at the finals, but also a home nation that you had defeated a couple weeks prior. Ivory Coast wanted revenge. There was an opportunity to do something that was going to lift the spirit of the Ivorian fans, the national kind of pride. The country had spent billions of dollars investing in preparing for this AFCON Championships. Yeah. And this was probably a way not only to pay back the government for their investment, but also to reward the fans for their support.
To the people.
How did you see the match?
I wasn't surprised because in our previous episode, I had already said that everything is going to just be against the
Super
Eagles.
But you thought the Super Eagles had what it took to win.
If we see, like, from the game, From the very first minute, the Ivorians wanted it more.
They had 68% of possession.
Well, let's be honest
to
about this.
To Nigeria's 32%. They had 18 shots to Nigeria's 8. They had 8 shots on target to Nigeria's 1.
Yeah.
You know, in every single department, the Ivorians wanted it more.
They wanted it more. And again, we all see, we could see in the stadium, it was 99% orange, or what's their color again?
Absolutely.
And I could not even hear the Nigerian fans. And there's like reports out there saying a lot of Nigerians wanted to buy the tickets, but they were refused. I think that's bad. But again, you got to do what you got to do to win the game.
Absolutely.
And we forgot that football in the heart of the Ivorians is a sacred thing, because football literally stopped a long civil war in their country.
Absolutely.
So I knew it wasn't going to be an easy game for us, and everything was going to be against us. We could tell from the refereeing, from the crowd, and I love how the crowd supported own team.
To be honest with you, I think all what you said should have been expected. We discussed that here. It was a national pride thing. It was Ivory Coast in the finals. This was an opportunity to win the AFCON championships and really give something back to the fans. However, both teams had an opportunity presented to them to win the title. Nigeria had, until the final, I believe, the best defense in the entire competition. And the last two AFCON championships was won by teams that only conceded 2 goals in the entire championship.
Which is
in comes Nigeria.
Nigeria
had the potentials. However, on the day, as you said, the most important players on the Ivorian team were the most, you know, how am I going to put it? The most productive players, the strikers. You know, you had the likes of Kessie, you had the likes of Ndiga, you had the likes of, you know, these players, Ala. These were the players that the team looked up to, and they delivered. The wings were busy.
Yes.
The striker was keeping our defenders busy. The midfield was controlling the midfield.
I couldn't keep up.
Whereas the most productive players on the Nigerian side was the defenders. And everybody going forward ahead of the defenders found it difficult within the game. Now, a lot of criticism has been thrown towards the strikers and the midfielders. Mm. But how about we speak about the selection? Going into such a huge match, scoring first by who has turned out to be the player of the tournament in Ekong in 38 minutes, scoring for Nigeria. At that point, the coach had one thing to do. Coming back for the second half, looking at shoring the midfield, or adding a little bit more value to the defense and adding a little bit more threat to the attack. However, he didn't do that until after the Ivorians had scored the second goal in the 81st minute. How about we level some criticism, serious questions at the feet of the coach and his tactical team, who made decisions that, in my opinion, cost Nigeria in such a very difficult position playing against the home side at the finals.
But we've seen it from day one. We've always said it on this podcast. We've seen it to say, tactically, I don't think he's the right guy.
Yep.
Because yesterday we saw a lot of loopholes in the Ivorian defense because they all wanted to come out.
Everybody was ready to play ball.
Yes. And it was just Osimhen on his own against them. If we had a creative midfielder that feeds Osimhen constantly yesterday, he would have scored. But now, the only creative midfielder we had, which is Iwobi, the coach told him to play defense. And this is why I don't get why a lot of people went for Iwobi.
Because he was playing to instructions.
He was playing to instruction. I know Iwobi well. That's not his position.
Absolutely. He started as a winger at Arsenal. Yeah. And then when he went to Everton, he played a little bit behind the striker.
And we see what he's doing currently with Fulham. So if a coach is telling you to play a defensive game, you can't go against the coach. That is not his position. In the first game, we saw the passes he will be made.
A lot of people forget that.
And this is one thing about we Nigerians, we are bad losers.
And such a short memory as well.
Yes. So we should literally cut the guy
slack.
Let's just leave him alone. He played to instructions. All the players did well. There were some few mistakes. It happens.
Let's
move on from it.
Let's talk about both goals though that the Ivorians scored.
Yeah.
A similar header to equalize, but what a fantastic touch by Sebastian Haller to score the winning goal. How about that?
At the beginning of the game, I was broadcasting live and I said something. I said, the only problem I have or I'm going to have that yesterday was Allah. This guy
the quality
is a dangerous player.
A quality striker.
Any defender wants to play with. We've seen it when he plays for his club.
Absolutely.
He has the quality of Drogba.
Yeah, it's a quality
don't
underestimate player.
Him.
Yeah.
And we all saw it yesterday. And it was Ekong behind him.
Absolutely.
There was nothing Ekong could do. Because he thought, he was thinking one step ahead of Ekong. So, I won't blame anybody for it because that's a striker's goal.
That's
a proper striker. So, I'm not blaming the goalkeeper. I'm not blaming anybody.
How about...
They deserve a win.
How about... Congratulations once again to the Ivory Coast for putting
and
up
to Afrobeat.
For putting up a fantastic competition and ultimately picking up the top prize with the difficulties and challenges that they had. They sacked their coach after their group match because they hadn't done well. They managed to get into the knockout stages through a stroke of luck using their assistant coach who is a Ivorian national and ultimately won the championships. What do you have to say about, the resilience of the team, the players, and even the supporters for carrying them that long?
So when it comes to football, I always say, if you want it, you can get it. They showed more interest in saying, look, we don't want nothing except...
When they had that opportunity to get into the knockout.
They took it. Because that was just they were out. It was just, they only had
a
thin line.
Absolutely.
So, I'm not surprised they wanted it. I'm not surprised they won it. And we could see in the players' thing. Because if our Nigerian players had shown that...
A little bit more.
Trust me. And I wonder when... I saw a video where Mourinho was saying, our coach... was his childhood friend, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, after that 1-0, why didn't you pack the bus like Mourinho does?
That's what a friend of mine said. He said, that's where...
He's going wrong. Yeah. This is the home team. They are in their country. 99% of all the people in the stadium yesterday was the Ivorians.
Yeah.
And you now had the opportunity to score a goal, and you're not packing the bus. People are going to talk, but we don't care.
What about... the roasting that Nigeria has received since the defeat by Ivory Coast. My phone was bombarded. Not only Afrobeat, but all the women and men that I know from the Ivory Coast made sure I felt it. And my Ghanaian brothers and sisters as well.
Cameroonians, everyone.
What about the roasting? I think Nigeria has had a big mouth. And this was an opportunity to stick it to Nigerians.
Well, what they tend to forget is before they even roasted us, as soon as the Ivorians equalized yesterday, we started cursing ourselves. Anyway. So whatever they said to us, we're just laughing at it because we're like, okay, we've heard it before. So it didn't really do anything on us. We even took it and we started laughing. We embraced it. So.
Yeah.
And that's part of the game.
Absolutely.
We love it. So a majority of us have apologized and said, let's forgive and forget,
Listen.
It's football.
It's football. Well, this is the Footballers Podcast where we discuss sports and enjoy some of the food from Ennis restaurants in central London. Until next time, when we'll be breaking down more hot topics in sports, let me talk into my fried yam and fried plantain whilst I enjoy my pepper sauce. From Adeshope and DJ Walls, it's peace.
Yes.
And we're out.